call the Legislative Commission on the Minnesota Sports Facilities meeting to, I'm going to call it open, call it to order. Can I have approval of the minutes, if anybody's had a chance to look at them?
I'd move it, but can we do it without a quorum? I just don't
know. Oh, I don't think, well, let's see. Senator Miller online. No, I don't think we can, actually.
And we can't vote. If you're, just so we're clear, Madam Chair, can we vote if we're on the phone, or was that, did we decide that you can't vote, but you can participate?
You can participate, I believe, yeah. I don't think you can.
So then we clearly don't have a quorum.
Yep. That's a good, thank you. Well, then, let's get to the real business of this meeting. You know, I've missed the last two. And the reason I was gone last time was because I was in with my bulls. So we're going to have a little show and tell. Yes, you didn't believe me. I was gone with my bulls.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So SmackDown was in the round two, the rankest pin of all. And he won with a 93.75 score. With J.B. Mooney, who ended up winning the entire thing.
You should show this.
This is pretty sharp, yeah. I have to admit. I will be wearing this.
Like a magnificent piece of jewelry is what it's. Whoops, sorry, Jim.
It's a fashion challenge.
I don't think I have a belt large enough to support that.
That's right. No, and you know you hit a big time when you have a stuffed animal of your bull. that works and is anatomically correct.
Good to know. We'll
pass this around, too.
It's critical details.
Yes, we are.
It's good. It's cute. Is that what that is?
That's what that is. That's SmackDown, number three
That's
in the
hysterical.
World. Yeah, isn't that great? So anyway, we are here for official business, though, but I did want to show you that there was a reason I missed the last commission meeting, and it was pretty fun. With us, we have Michelle Calhelgen, who is the Stadium Authority, and she will give us an update on the project and scheduling. And Michelle, if you wouldn't mind, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Michelle Calhelgen, Chair of the Authority. There has not been a lot that has changed since I was last here with you as far as where we're at on our schedule and kind of progress. We're continuing to work to finalize our guaranteed maximum price with Mortenson Construction. That certainly is what's taking the majority of my time here these days. The way the legislation was structured, the construction firm will come in and act as construction manager at risk. And essentially what that means is at this point of the process, they are pricing all of the elements that will go into the construction project. With that, they will give us what is known as a guaranteed maximum price. And essentially then the risk shifts to the construction manager, assuming we don't make design changes that affect the price. So at that point, as long as we stay within the design that has been detailed, it will be Mortenson Construction that basically will take on the construction and the construction risk. Coming to those numbers has been probably a little more difficult than we had originally anticipated, and it certainly is taking more time. As the bids, while they are not doing specific hard bids at this point, they are not selecting subcontractors, they are putting all the major pieces out for bid, almost more like informational bids, if you will, so that companies come in and make specific bids so that they can see what the actual real prices are and how that compares to our budget. And the bids that are coming back have quite a swing in them, frankly. But even the low bids are probably, in many cases, are higher than what our original budget was. And I think it's a reflection on the fact that the good news is construction is picking up, but the bad news is construction is picking up and bids are becoming less competitive than they were a year ago when this budget was set. That being said, we're just working our way through the pieces of it. We're looking at some relatively minor design changes. To the average person, you would never probably notice any of the things that we're looking at to make changes on to save some money. It's things like paint. It's things like if you've got some metal panels, there's different options for materials that you might use. They look very similar, but they can be different in price. We are not doing any value engineering of the major elements of the building, things like the pivoting doors and the ETFE, that roof that's transparent that seems to kind of define the building from a design standpoint. All those major pieces are still intact. But we are definitely looking at things within the building that can be changed that can save money. In addition, a lot of what we're doing is really zeroing in on, you know, when a construction company gives you a guaranteed maximum price, sort of the way they define their risk is to cover themselves as well. So to the extent that there are a lot of pieces where you don't have exact numbers, you don't have exact prices, they put in an allowance, and of course those allowances tend to be at times more on the high side than the low side because they, of course, don't have a hard number, so they want to protect against their risk. So we are just taking the time to try to define those things more specifically to get real exact numbers so that, you know, hopefully some of those areas are brought down in price when you actually have real numbers so you don't have to kind of pad things for risk, if you will. So all of that, I guess I'm just trying to explain why it is taking time. I think that in the long run, we're going to be far ahead having done all this initial work and homework. And when construction does begin, we will have so many things much more defined compared to, you know, sometimes the when projects start and there's kind of, you know, more unknowns built into the budget. We're going to have things really nailed down pretty specifically in almost all these areas. So I think it's good. I think the time that we're taking is very important as stewards of the public money, certainly from the team as stewards of their money. And from Mortensen's standpoint, they want to be clear when they take on the guaranteed maximum price that they know what they're walking into. So that being said, we had originally looked at guaranteed maximum price coming today or tomorrow. The team's financing was being looked at, you know, coming this week or right after the guaranteed maximum price. As it turns out now, we're probably looking at next week, could even be the following week. It's really, I'm right now not trying hard not to commit to an exact date because it seems like whenever we set dates, we always miss it by a few days and then it, you know, looks like something's wrong, but it's just our process working its way through, and we kind of make our best estimates, and then sometimes it takes longer than we expect. So we're definitely, you know, we always work backwards from July 2016, and at this point, which is the building opening, and that really schedule-wise is ultimately what we're looking for. We are definitely staying on track for opening July 2016. So working backwards at this point, we definitely, our schedule definitely keeps us to that. So okay. That's kind of where we're at, and that's really the majority of our time is being spent there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I should mention, too, that Senator Miller is online, and Senator Reiner will be calling in. He is teaching a class currently. So Senator Miller, welcome. And Senator Housley is on a hockey trip, so she's gone. But there might be a few more people showing up, hopefully. And if not, we will, again, have another meeting in December that I'm sure you'll be at, Michelle, and be able to give us a further update on that. Any questions? Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Kelm-Helgen, the one event that has occurred between the last time you were here and today is the purchase, I guess, of the plaza.
Oh, right, yes.
That was breaking news as we were meeting, but we didn't visit on it. And I'm wondering if you can just speak to that briefly for the commission.
Sure, certainly. We had been back and forth with that, with the landowners of that space, and just to sort of orient people, in front of the stadium on Chicago Avenue, directly across the street is that plaza. And it's where the light rail station and the train runs through that plaza. They've had an easement. In 2003, there was an agreement that was signed that basically gave the Metrodome, the old commission, and now the authority, rights to use that plaza, not only on game day, but for our other events. It's an important piece. While it isn't part of our footprint, and it was nothing that was absolutely necessary for the authority to buy, it certainly was in the design that was originally done and that the legislature and the governor approved. It had this plaza kind of park area in front of it that was an important component of the overall. There was kind of a red line, and that was within the red line as far as kind of stadium infrastructure. And it was really viewed as an extension of, you know, were we to purchase it, as an extension of the stadium, both for the game days for the Vikings as well as for all the other authority events. That being said, we obviously have had a budget we had to work within, and we certainly had constraints on how much we could pay for that property. We were very far apart in what we thought it was worth and what the owners thought it was worth, and really had been having discussions, but we weren't anywhere close to agreeing on a number. In the meantime, there was a dispute that took place with this landowner and the authority basically saying, we don't think that the use agreement will extend to the new stadium necessarily. And of course, legally, we disagreed with that. So we actually were in court to get this issue, this use issue, settled. In the meantime, as often happens, once you're faced with legal costs and court issues, people realize that, you know, you need to try to settle this. Anyway, we were able to reach agreement a couple weeks ago, about a week and a half ago, for the purchase. And we are going to be, and we still are in the process, we're just finalizing actually the purchase agreement probably today. But essentially the terms of that purchase agreement were agreed to a week and a half ago. And what we agreed to was that the authority, the project, will buy that property for $19.1 million. And it certainly is substantially less than the value that the property owners thought they were owed, and it's more than what the authority originally was offering. But it was well within our budget. It actually was a little bit under the budget we had set for that property. And frankly, with the Ryan development moving forward through the city, with the two Wells Fargo towers, $400 million in development, and then the city park, which will be immediately adjacent to this plaza space, the value of this plaza to connect us to that three, what now will become a three-block park with the plaza and then the two city blocks right behind it, will give us an amazing opportunity for authority events such as, for example, the Super Bowl, the Final Four, even the BCS game, the College Bowl Championship game that we're now in the running for. And these big events always look at outdoor space that can be used, where even if it's in the winter, they can put up tents, that kind of thing. It's really an important, I wouldn't say requirement, but it certainly is an element that they look at and judge as they consider you as a venue. So the plaza really is our connection to that two-block park. In addition, having a public body own that, I think, is really important, because that light rail station becomes the connection for Central Corridor, which will come online here in April 2014, and that whole connection with the Hiawatha Line and Central Corridor right at that spot, even over and above the events that happen at the authority. Having a large queuing space for the public and having that light rail station have open access is really important. So I think having, I know from the city standpoint and the county standpoint and Metro Transit, they were all very relieved to see that that property would stay in the hands of a public body. So I think we're well served with that. And it was an important piece of the project. And also kind of that, you know, unknown number was always a potential risk. So having it defined is helpful.
Madam Chair.
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Chair Kelm-Helgen. Can you just help me understand the $19.1 million for the purchase of the plaza? Is that cost attributed to the full public cost of the stadium? Is that somehow additional? If it's additional, where do the revenues come from? How are you paying for it?
Yes, it's in the $975 million. It's within that budget. And it was defined as possible infrastructure. We did have, as part of our budget, a line item for land purchase and parking. The other thing, I'm sorry, I'm glad you are asking about this, because I also want to mention, in addition to the plaza space, there's an underground parking ramp that's part of that purchase price of $19 million, which is very important because it provides us 450 parking spots that go toward the goal. The legislation requires us to have 2,000 parking spots available to the stadium contiguous, either by skyway or walkway or, you know, something. And so those spaces are part of those 2,000 parking spaces that we have to provide. And when you look at just the cost of building, if we were to have built those parking spaces in a ramp, you know, somewhere else, if we had to construct that parking, that alone would have been close to, we figured those 450 parking spots at, you know, $20,000 a spot, which if you're looking at kind of typical ramps is not unusual. We would have been up at, you know, $13 million or something like that anyway for just the construction cost of those parking spots. So having those below ground, you know, heat control, that kind of thing, adjacent to the stadium, and those parking spots will probably be used during construction, you know, where those Mortensen will be needing spots and workers and that kind of thing. So the whole thing just kind of comes together, I think, for us at a good time and is going to be very beneficial to the project.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair Chalk-Cunningham.
Atkins.
Thank you. Madam Chair, any championship bull riding coming to the new facility?
Could be.
It sounds like we have everything else in line, or at least bids made. I guess, actually, Senator Rosen, this was the construction manager at risk required by the legislation?
Mm-hmm. I believe it was.
It was listed as an option and something that was highlighted as a possibility. That was always kind of intended as the process we would use. It wasn't required. We could have done a design build contract, but CM at risk was certainly identified as a possibility.
And thank you, Madam Chair. And Madam Chair, my concern is that my understanding of the construction manager at risk approach is it actually can drive up the price if we aren't doing the due diligence on our end to make certain, because obviously what it does is it drives the, and no offense to the contractor that's been selected in this case, but what it tends to do is it pushes that bid up and it, because they want to make sure that they've got room within which to operate. So I assume we have our own internal folks taking a look at those, and maybe you can just give us some description of what the process is and what's going on internally.
Well, you're right. I mean, I think that is always the concern, and that actually is what's taking the time, and really the work that's being done now is to have, you know, the staff, our staff, be working and looking at all of the, you know, subcontracting bids and numbers and comparing to industry standards. And our people have been, you know, sitting in on those bid negotiations and really involved in looking at all those prices. And as I mentioned, part of what we're trying to do to take the risk and the potential kind of inflation out of it is to take those allowances that were in some cases built in and really take the time to get specific numbers that replace just a general allowance and actually are specific numbers that Mortenson would be committed to, and that we also are sure that our actual real numbers of what the cost will be and not, you know, padded in any way. So that really is what, you're right, I mean, that is very important, and that's what a large part of what we're taking our time to do right now is to make sure that we do get a really solid bid that doesn't have a lot of, you know, sort of risk built, padded into it for the construction manager. So to us, I think when we're done in the end, we'll have kind of the best of both worlds, because Mortenson will be assuming the risk, and that's good for the state, that we, you know, don't have the risk for cost overruns, but also that we know that there's not a lot of padding built into this bid and that they're very real cost numbers that, you know, Mortenson can live with and obviously make a fair profit, but, you know, not anything exceeding what normally would be had. So I think you're right.
It's fair to say. Thank you, Madam Chair. It's accurate to say that our own internal folks are expressly looking at the subcontractors' bids themselves, not just taking the contractor's word for what those bids are.
Absolutely.
Madam Chair.
Thank you.
And that is...
Okay.
Thank you.
Any
further questions? No? Senator Miller? Oh, Representative Barnard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair.
I know.
Yes, it's...
Michelle is
so
fine.
Michelle, all right, that's great, too. As I'm recollecting the in terms of the purchase price for the plaza, you had said $19.1 million, and I believe in the media it said $17.1 million. There's some, just a misquote there? Or
I think it might have been a misquote if it said 17, because it was 19.1.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then, Madam Chair, if I might.
Yeah, Representative.
Well,
Atkins.
And this is actually under old business, Madam Chair, and I just wanted to say it. Well, because I'm assuming Chair Kelm-Helgen is going to move along to our next meeting, but we raised at the last meeting the concern about the disclosure by the team of the revenues that they have coming in on for game day revenues. Mm-hmm. I note that today we're going to talk about the joint sports and entertainment facilities agreements. I understand that. I'm just hoping at some point we can come back and have a furtherance of that discussion that we started last time. Last time's effort was simply to tee the issue up. I believe that Representative Reinert has been in touch with our own research staff, nonpartisan research staff, to get their input in terms of what to give some perspective. Chair Kelm-Helgen provided us between last meeting and this one with a very helpful memo about, I believe it's 8 times that the Metrodome lease had been amended or renegotiated. And my point from last time is that I do think it's important at least to have a discussion here about whether or not it's from a competitive standpoint and a negotiation standpoint to have a disclosure by the team of the revenues that they have coming in the event that we have to renegotiate. And based on the Metrodome experience, it looks like that does happen. If the team only knows what revenues we have coming in and we don't know what revenues they have coming in, it puts us at a distinct negotiation disadvantage if that day comes, or I should say when it comes, because it happened 8 times with respect to the Metrodome. I say that. It's actually under old business, Madam Chair, which is number 5. I just wanted to say it while Chair Kelm-Helgen was still here. Mm-hmm. And hopefully perhaps at the December meeting or January meeting we can flesh that discussion out a little bit further.
Well, thank you, Representative Atkins, and I believe that the chair will be at all the subsequent meetings going forward. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an important discussion to have about what is the role of this commission, and that's what I would like to flesh out. Not necessarily if the chair and her authority and the commissioners of that authority are doing their job, which I think the legislation clearly points out and gives them the full authority to make sure that the revenue that the team is acquiring is going to be sufficient to make their obligation. I'm not sure if that falls within this commission's preview. So I am not going to make any promises. Unfortunately, the co-chair champion, he had to be in court today, so he is not here. Of course, Representative Reinhart's here, too, and we have discussed it. I've also been working with our nonpartisan staff on the Senate side, too, to take a look at this. And I think it's a discussion that will continue, but I'm not sure if it's going to be under these grounds, because I'm not sure if this commission, if it's their right, and that if that was the reason to appoint this commission. And so with that, we'll I'm sure this conversation will continue. Representative Wright, if you have anything to, do you have anything to contribute?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, it would be my hope that we could have further discussion with research staff from both bodies to look at where the proper purview of this issue is and what its consequences and implications are. It's clear from the statute that it's our responsibility to have oversight in relation to the authority and to empower and support the authority in their work. And I think we need to consider what both the proper limits are to that authority and its appropriate placement, and whether the question of as I've understood it with a little more research, this is a broad Chapter 13 issue, and I have no expertise in Chapter 13 legalities, but I think that's the question is to, and I would like us to continue to ask whether we could, at least from a research perspective, approach the issue.
Sure. And I would welcome that. I appreciate that. I think it goes directly to point number one within the defining authority, which is our charge, is to provide financial oversight of the authority. And that financial oversight, clearly when it comes to the negotiation of this lease or future leases, there's nothing that goes more directly to that financial oversight than the ability to have the data necessary to make smart decisions, not just in the initial lease, but in the renegotiation of future leases. So I would very much welcome having the nonpartisan staff come in and sort of talk about what their understanding is and what they believe it would be important for us to do. So thank you both very much.
Thank you, Representative Atkins. We will be discussing this further. There are many things that this commission can talk about, and I am a firm believer is that we have given the full responsibility to the authority and to the chair, and we should allow them to do the work. With that, also, Chair Hulgan, is the stadium implementation committee? Do they have things that they need to apprise us with on their?
The city implementation committee
city. Mm-hmm.
That was set up.
Mm-hmm.
The city implementation committee had a very specific role that was focused on the exterior of the building and the way the site would be designed and then connected to the city of Minneapolis. They were very active over the course of the last year, and we probably had meetings every 2 to 3 weeks, and they had a lot of input into all that. Now that the building design is completed and everything's been submitted to the city, their role really changes. The implementation committee, as originally defined, actually has sunsetted. That committee is not active anymore. However, the city has put together another committee, which is essentially looking at the exterior of the stadium, the city park, and how the city park and the stadium will work together. And so that committee, I'm on that committee, as is a representative of the Vikings, and all kinds of neighborhood and business people. So that will continue, and that's kind of a reincarnation of the implementation committee and sort of taking us to the next step. The only other thing I just want to mention, just to correct the record, because I don't want to leave anyone with the impression, I did send that document with the 8 amendments that were made to the original Metrodome use agreement. But I just want to clarify that really almost all of them related to like physical space use. So in the beginning, it was just the construction, like the first two actions were just the construction of suites that weren't done under the original agreement. And so that was the first two. And then as they moved on, it was things like when the city acquired the plaza, putting together a plaza use agreement for the Twins and the Vikings so that they would have use of that and the commission would have use of that for their events. So it was always things like that. It really was not revenue related. It did not, really nothing affected the revenue by and large until the end, as we came upon when the Twins left and the stadium then was kind of at the coming to the end of its useful life. People were concerned at that point that the Vikings, you know, only had 6 years or so left on their lease and wanted to make sure that, you know, they were enticed to stay. And there was quite a bit of public discussion on the part of the commission. And I just want to assure everyone, all of our meetings, we act as a public body similar to you. And all of our meetings and our budgets and all of the agreements are always public and open and subject. Everything is subject to Data Practices Act and the open meeting law. So as we went through those, not we, I wasn't there, but as the commission went through those revenue changes, which really were, you know, within the last 6 or 7 years, that was all publicly discussed. But I just want to, the 8 amendments, most of those just were space additions, plaza, you know, things like that, and related more to the use between the teams, the Twins and the Vikings, and the commission back then. So I just wanted to set the record straight that it really wasn't revenue related until later years, as the stadium got sort of had, some people thought it might have outlived its useful life and there were no plans for a new stadium and people were trying to make accommodations to keep the team viable in Minnesota. So
thank you for that clarification. Hold on, Chair. Going back to the comments and to the press release or the information today in the paper, are, how about groundbreaking? Any idea when that's going to happen? And
we will
pushing back the date of of getting in there?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about November sort of generally as the groundbreaking day, you know, before Thanksgiving has been our target. I don't anticipate that will really change because as soon as the GMP is reached, and which should be soon, then the team financing comes like right on the heels, and literally the groundbreaking will be within a couple of days. So it's all going to, once we kind of get that GMP, everything falls in place. So we're still looking at November for the groundbreaking.
Okay, wonderful. And perhaps you're not prepared to talk about this yet, but I know there's been some work on the diversity part of the jobs part of the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, it'd be nice to get a little summary on that. That was a good piece. That was Senator
sure.
Higgins' piece
mm-hmm.
that was adopted. And sounds like, you know, some good things have happened there recently,
yes,
too.
Yes, we can do that. Alex Tittle is our equity director, and I'm sure he'd be glad to come and make a presentation at some point. We do have also, as part of our public process, we have an equity oversight committee that meets on a fairly regular basis as needed, as that really is the group responsible for tracking the targeted business goals for both women and minorities, as well as the targeted workforce goals. So there's a whole public process in place for all of that as well. So, mm-hmm. But we'd be glad at any point to give you updates on that because it certainly is an important piece of what we do.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any further questions? Thank you, Tara.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I am waiting for Senator Reinert to get on the phone. Otherwise, I know we wanted to talk about this piece that was important part of this legislation and actually a reason why we are sitting here today is it's actually Senator Reinert's legislation. And since he is not on the phone yet, I just want to read you his comments from an email yesterday. My apologies, fellow members, for not being able to join you this fall. He is teaching at a class, and so it's been very difficult for that every Tuesdays and Thursdays. My original intent in creating the Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority was to create one authority to own and manage all five Dome and new stadium venues. This authority would be overseen by one legislative commission. The authority would be charged with renewing and rebuilding as necessary, but also to coordinate operation and management. We know how challenging the renew, rebuild discussion can be, but we also learned that these various publicly subsidized venues compete against each other to the point where major national acts play little or nothing to perform at a venue. So I have suggested to our commission leadership that we create a subcommittee to look at this aspect of our enabling legislation and report back with a charge for future commission work. I hope the commission will give that some thought and discussion today, and he will be joining us hopefully fairly soon. So I think I'd like to have just a little discussion about this subcommittee, and if there are any people that would like to work on that with Senator Reinhart. Senator Sharon.
Yeah, thank you. Senator Rosen, would you read that last part of the email about what he is asking? What I would like, he says, was something that he would like to have happen. It's the last couple of sentences.
We know how challenging the renew rebuild discussion can be. We also learned, no, that's not. I've suggested our commission leader, we create a subcommittee.
Okay,
that part.
Read
right.
That through again.
Okay. That we create a subcommittee to look at this aspect of our enabling legislation and report back with a charge for future commission work. I hope the commission will give that some thought and discussion tomorrow, today.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Senator Sharon?
Thank you. So what he is asking is a subcommittee of this committee
right.
to do something forward. When I was reading, and we're reading through the Minneapolis-St. Paul Facilities Coordination Study, mm-hmm. Which has a clear statement of what the purpose of the study is, and that this report is to be available to us February 1st, 2014. And it has all of the representatives of the primary professional sports teams involved. It is designed to study the possibility of sharing risks, having kind of shared services concept, coordinating events in the way that Senator Reinhart's email talks about in order to gain some better outcomes for these venues that come to visit us. So, what would the task of a subcommittee be in light of what is written here in this conference committee report? About that the study is to proceed, that it's funded from the Commissioner of Administration to the General Fund. It's shared funding with the two cities. I shall pay half of the cost of the consultant contract. I mean, do we have an update to know whether or not this is in process or moving forward? Are you aware of any activity on this initiative?
No. And
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Dabney.
Madam Chair, a little... First, a little background. I think the challenge that Senator Reinhart reports on of having competing entertainment venues, we've got a football stadium that was constructed and funded one way under one authority. We've got a hockey rink. There's got to be a better word
arena?
Than that. Arena. Sure. I'll take that. That was constructed. I knew it was more than that. That was constructed
in St. Paul. Give it a little. Minneapolis folks.
Ah, you know, just a little thing that was constructed, funded, and administered a different way. We've got a basketball arena where championship basketball is played, and the Wolves play there too. See, you thought the slide on St. Paul was
now
tough.
You're cutting both ways.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. That was, you know, built initially privately and then purchased by the public. We've got all these different venues. We got a baseball stadium, and particularly from the perspective of one of the host communities, the challenge is that with all these different venues and a lack of coordination, that the public actually ends up paying. in St. Paul, in Minneapolis, up until the stadium legislation, it was the property taxpayers who were subsidizing the Target Center. That's now shifted to the sales tax because of the statute that underlies all of this. But there is real challenges to the public subsidizing all these various venues, and then the venues being pitted against each other by performers and the like. Representative Mahoney from St. Paul and I had legislation relating to exploring joint governance, marketing, and the like, probably 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then this year, returned to it. We actually had a an amendment on the floor to the Viking Stadium bill that would have done much of what finally passed in the tax bill conference committee report this year to look at these issues. Right now, my understanding is that a consultant has been hired to start exploring these issues, that they've got some good background. There are some folks in the room who could probably give us a little bit more information, but that does seem to be, I think the question for the chair is, do you want to talk about the structure of the commission and the subcommittee idea, or get into the substance of the issue? The conversation I had with Senator Champion last night was kind of more leave the substance to the creation of the subcommittee and let them drill down into what is the consultant finding, what are other communities doing that have this have a same or similar competition between different venues, and how are they approaching it to minimize the burden on the public and maximize the opportunity for revenue. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, Representative Dabney, does this mean you want to be on the subcommittee?
I think it does. For good or for ill, this is one of those wonky things I've chosen to follow in my career here in the House.
Well, thank you very much.
May I continue to speak? But I think that's the question of whether or not we want to remain in front of this committee, or whether or not we want a subcommittee to drill down. I'm trying to understand the question.
That would report to this committee.
So is the essential question, do you think that a good idea to create a subcommittee, or does everybody agree that we should have a subcommittee? Because I'm not sure that we should. I'd like to have that conversation. Why wouldn't we keep this as one of the three purposes for which the Legislative Commission has been formed? One is providing the financial oversight. The other is adoption of a statewide authority structure for operating and managing sports facilities and entertainment venues, and creating a comprehensive managed plan that alleviates booking and scheduling concerns. That's the three functions of this committee. And I don't understand why we need a subcommittee to do that, and why we can't continue to use this process to review it as an entire group. So I'd be interested in discussing first, not who's going to be on a subcommittee, but I'm open to being persuaded that keeping it in the committee is a bad idea. I just think I don't understand why we would create another subcommittee unless people just don't want to come to this meeting, which may be the case.
Senator Brainerd.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Sharon, my best understanding of that would be, and I think we really need Senator Reinhart and Senator Champion, actually, to speak specifically to why we might create a subcommittee, because I do agree with you that it is in the purview of the commission, and it is our one of three main charges. And if we segregate it out of the commission, what are our remaining tasks, so to speak? I think maybe Senator Reinhart and Senator Champion thought there would be maybe some nuts and bolts work in terms of, doing a little research, speaking to people in the community, et cetera. But that could possibly be done informally without a subcommittee, and then bringing people here to testify. So I can see both sides of the argument, and I think Madam Chair, you may have a different sense of what the specific work of that subcommittee would be independently of the commission.
Mm-hmm. I'm anxious to talk with Senator Reinhart on this and why he's proposing a subcommittee. But I'm like you, Representative Reinhart. I could go either way. I believe that we'll be bringing all the interests up to the testifying table anyway, whether it goes through a subcommittee first or this commission. So I can be persuaded both ways, but we would probably have to have maybe another meeting or to get the ball rolling, not our scheduled commission meeting, maybe a separate meeting to sort of start working on that particular issue.
I need to understand why that's a good idea. I don't get why we should do it. I can be persuaded if there's good reason, but I just don't get it. We only have three functions here, and I just don't keep it together, unless there's a good reason not to. I'd be interested in your reaction. This is a conversation we can have. Do you have a reaction?
Well, and I think that's being addressed to me, right? My sense at the rate we're going, we're kind of a subcommittee already. I mean, there's only five of us. Well, we've got a senator on the line as well. What I think what would be helpful, whether we did it with a small group getting together as a small group, not as a subcommittee necessarily, but it would be helpful to have, here's your one or two or three best ways of doing this. Maybe that's a task that we could charge our House and Senate research to come up with. Here's a couple different options to consider so that we have a recommendation before us and that somewhat focuses the discussion. But the fact is it's going to occur at this the decision, I think, is going to occur at this level one way or another. I think what Representative Dabney and Representative Reinert have alluded to and Senator Reinert in a conversation I had with him is that nuts and bolts piece that Kathy was concerned about is in focusing so that we've got a recommendation before us. My question, and we're all sort of playing this, I realize what we're doing, we're all waiting for Senator Reinert to get on the phone. But the one question I had is, you know, we've talked about this sort of umbrella, you know, that brings all the organizations together so that they can work together. And I know that, and by the way, my sense is that the entities themselves are not averse to doing that. But
Representative Atkins, I'm not sure about that.
Well, and just I think it's a matter, if you would have let me finish the next phrase, okay. It's a matter of how it's done, and their concern is giving up authority and having somebody dictate. So my question to the folks on this commission is there just a simpler way to do it that would, is that Senator Reinert perhaps?
I'm not sure. Can you tell?
Who's there?
Senator Miller's on the line. Senator Reinert, are you on?
No, I
so my but my question is
okay. Good.
Is the aim that we're trying to, or our objective, is it to simply allow those entities to communicate with one another so that they don't drive the bidding all the way down, at least in one case that I'm aware of, one of the entities they were bidding on a concert, it got bid all the way down to zero. They were literally given the place away just so that they could get the concession revenue. I'd anticipate if we do the math on this and we'll get some testimony on it, we're probably talking millions of dollars a year at taxpayer-funded entities where they're bidding against each other until they get it all the way down to the point where they're either making nothing on the rent or perhaps even losing a little bit of money on the rent and trying to make it up with concession revenue and other event day revenues that come in. Would it be as simple as allowing those entities to communicate with one another and whoever sets, you know, they both go in with, let's say one bids $100,000 and the other one bids $90,000. They would be able to share that with one another and that under no circumstance would either one be able to go lower than, say, 10% below the lowest bid. So if the lowest bid was $90,000, neither would be able to go lower than, what's 10% of 90,000, 9,000, so neither would be able to go lower than 81. And then you'd know that there's a floor. We're not talking any grand governance scheme or anything like that or anything where they'd be giving up any of their authority, but simply a floor setting device so that they wouldn't bid each other all the way down to zero.
Senator Rosen.
My apologies for interrupting you, Representative Atkins. I think there is, when you're looking at all venues, they are completely different. So this will be a very interesting discussion. Senator Sharon.
I understand all of the issues involved. That was part of the discussion. What I'm referencing is that in our materials, it reminds us that we have taken an action in relationship to this. And I don't understand why we would do anything before we received a report that we're partially funding that's due to us on February 1st, 2014, in which all of these participants are going to be engaged in a conversation about establishing a joint governance structure to be responsible for joint administration, financing, operations of the facilities, possible effects of joint governance on the financing of each issues. In the earlier statement of purpose, they're talking about promotion and scheduling arrangements by the cities. So it seems to me that we've initiated a process to hire somebody to pull the people together to have a conversation about just what you're talking about. And rather than having us have a subgroup or ask our staff to put forward some ideas or some organizational structure for how to accomplish a goal, that we allow this process to go forward. And so, again, in the same way as I'm not sure why we need a subcommittee, I think we should read this and make sure we understand what we have already said we want done before we start creating another layer of conversations on the same subject.
Yes, Representative Reinert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Sharon, I'll look at this more closely if you challenge my interpretation, but what I would say is that this legislation out of the conference committee is a subset of the charge to this commission. It's not identical to the charge to this commission. And as a result, as often happens in legislative process, we've created a somewhat parallel motion of interests here that don't totally overlap. And there may be a benefit to the commission creating a conversation with this process, because if we wait completely for the results, there may be kinds of inquiries that we might have put in place that could have resulted in a better product to properly inform our broader process. Because, you know, as I read our charge number two, it's inclusive of the state as a whole and not only the metropolitan areas. So there's some conversation beyond the Minneapolis-St. Paul dynamic mm-hmm. that is the responsibility of the commission. So the benefit I see to not just waiting is that we could have there could be an active way in which we might participate in this dialogue that would shape it so that it could better serve our broader charge, if that makes sense. There was a long answer, but I was trying to reflect the detail of the...
Senator Reiner, are you online?
I did. I just got on.
All right. Wonderful. We're talking Thank about you. your language and legislation. Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We are at a bit of a challenging point here with the work that's going forward out of the tax bill this year.
Representative Dabney, why don't you just give Senator Reinert just a rendition of what we just went through to get him up to...
Sure. Good afternoon, Senator Reinert. I was able to provide the commission with a little background on legislative interest in the question of the competing sports and entertainment venues in the Twin Cities. I limited it, my comments specifically, to between Minneapolis and St. Paul venues and the challenges there. And then I don't know if you received a copy of the language from the Tax Conference Committee this year that created a study looking at coordination between Minneapolis and St. Paul, and particularly the Target versus NXL centers.
Right.
So just touched on that, described some of that work. The question that the commission is struggling with now, I think, was best put forward by Senator Sharon, and is, do we need a subcommittee of this body to focus on this, or should the commission as a whole take on that responsibility, because it is part of the charge of the commission as a whole? I don't think we've made a decision here yet. My comments at this point were going to go to... there is a process that now is at the very beginning of that process. I'm under the impression that a contract has been signed. I assume, to your comments, your most recent comments, Senator Sharon, the challenge of this commission now weighing in on the parameters of that work by the consultant is, of course, they've already signed the contract that I presume establish the parameters of their work. And if we now come in and say, well, have you thought about this? They may say, fine, but that's another $10,000, or whatever it might be, because they've come up with a cost that they're charging the two cities and the state for the work that's already been defined. I do think for whether it's this body or a subset of this body, the primary source document that we're going to want to focus on initially is whatever this report is that's coming to us February 1st. I think to Representative Atkins, your questions about simply allowing communication, I don't fully appreciate or understand it, but we do struggle in this area with antitrust law.
Right.
And I, you know, I'm certain you have to have a better understanding of that than I do. But that is one of the issues that is there, and that is getting to an understanding of that may be perfectly appropriate for this body to delve into even before the February 1st report, because anything they recommend will take place within the context of what is possible under within federal antitrust law. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, if I might, to that point, perhaps what might be best, kind of coalescing all of these thoughts, would be to get that background. First, let's get our arms around how big of a problem. I say millions of dollars because I'm just doing the math. And when you're talking about events that might bring in hundreds of thousands of dollars or $100,000 and the bid goes down to zero, and then you multiply that by the number of events that these venues have coming in, it scares me in terms of the magnitude of the figure. But I think rather than me doing math, we'd be better off hearing directly from the venues themselves. Then secondly would be to get that background in terms of what our options are, legal options, those that don't run afoul of antitrust laws. And I think we're on firm ground, but I'd like to hear that again from somebody who's got expertise in the realm of antitrust. By the time we get to that stage, we will probably be on the precipice at least, or perhaps at the point where we'll get that report that we've contracted for. And then, which is, you know, granted that's February, we start session February 25th, and we're hoping to be done by March 1st. I recognize that. Or so our leaders will tell us, right? We're all going to get done early this year. But that may put us in a position February 1 where we can, at our whatever date that, Madam Chair, that meeting is in February, February 6th or 7th, where we can put all of those pieces together and adopt something that is ready and able to be moved as soon as we get to the first day of session. Does that sound...
Well, yeah.
Subcommittee or no, I think all of us need to have that basic background that I described.
Senator Sharon.
Yeah, and then I would add that since what has been described is the probability that the contract's already been let and the parameters of the study defined for the amount of money that's being spent, wouldn't you like to see that? I'd like to know what it is that how this looks, and if we could have that presented to us. We don't know what the outcome is, but at least what work has been done, what contract has been let, what are the parameters and the questions that are in it, what kind of a report or what are we going to expect to come back to us by February 1st, 2014. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to do that as a whole commission rather than a subgroup because, you know, I really see it as a whole group responsibility rather. Senator Reinert, I'm open to hearing why we should split off into a subgroup some work around this subject. I just haven't been clear in my mind as to why that would be necessary. So perhaps you have something that you could say that would persuade me to that's a good idea.
Senator Reinert?
Sure. Yeah, thank you. And I didn't know how to raise my hand on the phone, so. Senator Sharon, thank you for that segue. And I don't know that I have a great argument for you. I began from an assumption that maybe was not correct, that not everyone was necessarily as interested in this aspect. And if all of this has been covered, I will try to be brief to not walk members through ground you've already covered. But the two relevant sections of the statute are both found in Article 1. The first is in Section 1 that talks about us as a commission and our direction to look at joint management and operation of venues under the jurisdiction of the authority. I would then take you down to Section 12 of Subdivision 2, which talks about what those entities are, and it includes the Metrodome as well as the new professional stadium, the new Viking Stadium. But it also, this is where it all began, says, and this was a negotiation during the legislative process, that the Target Center, Excel, and Target Field, as well as other venues that we may not know about, can join, can come under. The idea for the authority and the commission, the reason it's called the Minnesota Sports Facilities and not the Vikings or the whatever, was let's get these things under one umbrella, jointly manage them, and then have them refurbished and renewed as appropriate so that future legislatures aren't gone by one venue after another. If the entire commission is interested in doing that work together, I would certainly welcome that. I think there may be some functional argument for having a subset of folks that are really interested. I mean, I will be upfront. It's my main area of interest. I am interested in this new billion-dollar facility that we're charged with helping oversee, but I'm really interested in what happens in 20 years when these discussions start coming around again. And maybe there's some others that have that interest as well, and if so, we could be a subcommittee of the commission that just tries to put some flesh on this. You know, what does that look like? What questions do we really need to dig into? I want to come back to Representative Dabney's point, and then I'll stop. I don't think that negates this process that you began with your legislation and that the RFP has already gone out on. I think that is important information that we need. I am convinced that we will want more. And that there will be follow-up to that. So I don't think we, in starting as a commission to dig into this aspect of our charge, need to modify or pull back or relet that RFP. I think that's a great start. And it really, that honestly really, I think, prompted us to think more actively about this part of it as well.
Does anybody have, I mean, we do not have a quorum, Senator Reinerts and Senator Miller, so we can't vote on this, but perhaps we can just go ahead and agree to move as a body, a whole, because I do have great interest in this, and I perhaps we can send out an email to all the members explaining what was discussed, and if they have any thoughts on that, but address it next commission meeting. And move as a body going forward, and if we have something that we decide does need a subcommittee analysis or overview, we can maybe look at it that way, but perhaps we should just move as a body going forward, because I would hate to not allow the other people that are not here to have a chance to comment on this. So, Senator Reiner?
Madam Chair, if I could just, to follow up, I'm excited that we're having a good conversation about this part of it because, and I thank you for your comments, I think this is equally as important. The task of how we deal with this in 20 years is equally as important as the task before us today. I don't have any, I think that report coming back in February is going to really prompt us to talk about this charge we find in Section 1, as well as what does that mean when there's a day when there are more venues under the jurisdiction of the authority. So if that's a sort of all of us for the immediate future and then maybe a smaller group as there's some more tangible work that needs to be done, just given how busy we all are, especially once we come into session, I'm very comfortable with that.
Okay. Any thoughts, Senator Reinhart, on next? I mean, is there any work that we can do as a body going forward? Probably have representatives from the different venues come in. Is that something that you'd like to have?
That, and I think there are, you know, we are all good as legislators at looking around and seeing and not reinventing the wheel. This idea, the umbrella idea, first came out of the state of Colorado, so maybe we can try and identify who the smart people are on what other states are doing with their co-management and authority of their professional venues and try and get a little bit of education on that. While we wait for this report to come back, might be a great time to just study a little bit and see what others have to teach us.
Do you have? Don't you have? Don't you teach a class on this, Senator Reiner?
No.
I thought you had something. Don't you have that information?
So we did just have a really vigorous discussion on Plato and the Republic. So if anyone,
that's great.
I know everyone is just raising their hands right now.
Absolutely.
I just raised my hand.
I like the idea of sort of taking a look at what some other states or other models of, you know, shared services around facilities like this. I think that's a great idea. I'd like to have access to that information. And then I would just repeat that I don't know who established, who was the negotiator of this contract that's referenced in this legislation. But if we could find out who that was and who let that contract and ask them to come and talk to us about what has happened and what is the, tell us what the contract is about and what we can expect as an outcome. I would really like to hear that as well.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, if I could just second that, I think that's a really important conversation for us to have. So as they, you know, as they do that work and oversee that work, if they understand what some of our interests and concerns are, you know, hopefully they can incorporate that without having to go all the way, as Representative Dabney said, and, you know, incur extra expenses. I mean, I'm sure they can do some things that line up with our interests as well. So the sooner we have that conversation, the better.
Okay. Good. Are you? How do you feel about that, members? That we move? Oh, any Representative Reiner? Reiner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll just note for Senator Reinhardt's benefit that we've had, the senator and I have a history on the House floor where he sat behind me, and he was very frustrated after the first few weeks, I'd say, because he didn't know if it was Representative Reinhardt or Representative Reinhardt who was being spoken to. Having said that, I really like the proposal that Senator Reinhardt, now that I can say Senator, it's much clearer who is being spoken to, Senator Reinhardt has made to get the person or people who are involved in the contract before us so that we could understand better how that's proceeding, and then we'll understand, I think, better how to connect our charge with their activity, and I think that would be really a helpful start.
Great. Okay. Super. I know there is Mr. Backley's here with the Vikings. If there's any questions that we have for the Vikings, I'm sure, and if I'm not sure if he wants to give a little summary or if you're good, Mr. Backley. Welcome, Lester.
Madam Chair, Lester Bagley, Vice President of Public Affairs for the Minnesota Vikings. I would just echo the comments of Chair Kelm Helgen in terms of the progress and the optimism on the stadium. We're very excited about it, and we're working collaboratively with the Stadium Authority, with the contractor, Mortenson Construction, the architect, HKS, and working on getting the budget and the guaranteed maximum price in line. It's something that all four corners of those constituents can agree upon. And once we get that done, we're getting our financing lined up and ready to go so we can, as Michelle said, that domino will fall and we get our financing done. State can issue bonds. We can get the shovel in the ground and get to the construction, get to putting people to work, which is what we've been talking about and wanting to do for a long time. So that we're very close to that, and things are going well, but it's complicated. And best news is we're working well together, and the groundbreaking is just around the corner. Other than that, our season has been off to a little bit of a rocky start, but we do have
tonight.
A chance. We have a chance to get it on track tonight, and excited about that. But thanks for the opportunity to comment. I'm happy to take any questions.
Questions? No. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So to recap, I think actually, I think it's good to get clarification on this the study and what we want to do with the joint venue agreement. And I think we'll move as a commission. Is that correct? You all right mm-hmm. with that? Okay, good. And we'll hopefully. So, Senator Reiner, how do we go about getting what other states are doing? We'll get research to start that. Do you want to? Yeah. Do you want to spearhead that and get that moving?
Yep, I'm happy to. I've had conversation with Senate nonpartisan research in the past, and they helped me draft that section of our language as well as the authority language. So I can definitely do that.
Okay. Okay, wonderful. And I just must say, you know, I was in pensions all morning, and it's just really nice to work on a commission in a bipartisan way. It's very, very nice. So I appreciate you all coming.
You're referring to pensions, right?
Stop. But I think we can do some great work in this commission and in a bipartisan way. We have a big responsibility here, but we are in good hands, and we're going to have a great product at the end of it. So any further comments, questions? Anybody else in the audience would like to say anything? The next meeting is December 5th. November 5th or 6th. I can't. We will get back to you on that. But with that, thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned.
You're good.
Thanks, you guys. See you later.